So AC Bhakti Vilasa Swami Prabhupada, he's hiding behind his Bhagavad Gita. By his mercy,
even a lame man can cross over mountains, a dumb man can recite poetry, a blind man can see the stars in the sky, and what else? A dog can cross over the ocean. Die. So here we are, after crossing over the oceans, right, to come here. So my name is Meranam Hanumat Prashak Swami Head. And this is with Tapaji Maharaj. We pray. Very nice to be here. It's a long trip from South America that's coming now, and have some chance to relax a little bit and you know, get our work, some work accomplished here in the community. Yeah. And so it's very nice here. The center of everything is Radha and Krishna. Everything else, you know, starts from there. Even Krishna, he says, I have many pastimes, many activities, I do many things. Sometimes I incarnate as a giant pig, right, and save the earth from the demons. Other times he incarnates as Narsingadev, right, and kills a gigantic demon, Hiranyakasipu, like that. Yeah. So many different activities. But he said, when I think of my pastimes in the Ratha Lila, with the gopis and the full moon night of autumn, and everything else falls in place around that, you know, like that. You know? So many people are required to participate in Krishna's pastimes. You know, who's there at the Ratha Lila? What people? Huh? Gopis? Radha? Gopis? How many gopis? Many. That's all?
16,000.
No other people? That's for a start. Yeah. Yeah. Is Krishna's flute a person? Yeah? Yeah? What rasa is it in? Madhurya ras, Vatsalya ras, Dasya ras, Sakya ras. Shantaras. Yeah, Krishna's flute, Krishna's flower garland, they're all in Shantaras. Just amazed how wonderful is Krishna. Like that. But a very, very interesting place, Vrindavan, all these different pastimes. Because even though the flute isn't a very simple relationship, it's not so intense as being Krishna's friend or being Krishna's beloved. You know, still sometimes during the daytime when Krishna's playing the flute, the flute is, what's the word, challenging the gopis. He says, oh, you think that Krishna's lips are your personal property. Nobody can possess them but you. But here I am enjoying them. If you want to take them, if they're your property, come and take them. But the gopis can't go during the daytime to associate with Krishna like that. So they become very irritated with the flute. And sometimes they steal him and put him in a tank full of water like that, a water pot, so he gets revenge. So all these things are people, you know, in the spiritual world. The Vrindavan Dham, of course, is a person, right? The whole Vrindavan Dham is a person. So many unlimited glories. Prabodhananda Saraswati says, you know, he says, who can cross over to the farther ocean, the farther shore of the ocean, of the qualities of Vrindavan Dham? Even Ananta Sesha and Brahma and Shiva, describing the glories of Vrindavan for thousands of years, can't go to the farther shore of this ocean like that. So what to speak of a little living entity like me, you know? But because I love Vrindavan, I will try and describe something. You know? So he described 1,800 verses describing the glories of Vrindavan. So Krishna's flute's a person, Krishna's flower garland's a person, Vrindavan Dham is a person. The trees, they are all people. You know, the birds are there making music, you know, just the right way. Maybe we can all be birds in Vrindavan, like anything. Just right. You know, the leaves are moving. You know, Jamuna is there giving life to everybody. Jamuna is a liquid form of one of the eight principal gopis. You know which one? Huh? Vishaka. Yeah, Vishaka Devi, right? She takes the form of Jamuna, her liquid form, with all of her girlfriends, tributaries. And the whole, all the shore then is water for beautiful things to grow and live like that because of her mercy. Like that. So the flowers, you know, the trees give beautiful fragrances from their flowers. They have, you know, honey coming from their bodies like that. The Varuni, And then there's birds singing. Yeah? And there's shade when the sun is too hot. Yeah? So many things, you know, kind of in Vrindavan. And it's not enough. You know, Krishna wants more, you know. One time Prabhupada says that Krishna and the gopis are dancing. And the gopis are so happy doing the service to Krishna, they want to increase their service to Krishna more. So Prabhupada says Krishna arranges this. Their service becomes double, triple, like that. And they want to increase it more. So it goes on increasing more and more without limit. And Prabhupada says, and all they are doing is dancing, like that. Yeah? So all these pastimes of Krishna, this, you know, participating, there's so many people required. Prabhupada says that Krishna wants our service, and he demands our service, like that. Yeah? So not a contradiction. Yeah? So we're all here in this material world, in the surrounding. It's like, you know, we're here. Here's the material energy, non-manifested. But then we're inside of this, causing so many things to happen. What time is prasadam? We're going to eat tonight? Fireball? Yeah? But we're these bodies. These bodies are leather, you know, leather bags of water held up by stone. Right? Yeah? Yeah? There's like 65 bags of water here. You know, 65% water. Like that. St. Francis of Assisi, San Francisco. He said, don't spend all of your time taking care of an ass, right? This body is an ass to be ride through this world. Don't spend all of your time taking care of an ass. Nice lipstick for the ass, nice haircut, picking out your glasses, you know. Put your ass up on a big platform so everybody can see, you know, oh, look at PhD, doctorate, rich man. You know. No, it's just a vehicle we ride through this world, you know. Don't spend all your time taking care of the vehicle. What about the passenger, right? The owner of the vehicle, you know? And so, you know, we're caught in this world. Somehow or other, we ended up here. And it's just a covering, right? It's the external energy. Bahiranga Shakti, the external energy. But we're Tathasta Shakti. We're inside of this, making it all work, right? As soon as the soul is gone, the whole body becomes, you know, water. Yeah, the water evaporates, it comes out somehow or other, it becomes dry, and then there's the bones and stone, they somehow get broken up, you know. So after some time, where's the body? Right? All the water, the heat goes away right away. Right? When the soul leaves, the intelligence leaves right away, it's no longer intelligent, you know. And then the heat goes very quickly, becomes cold very quickly, then it evaporates after some time. And then the other parts, you know, get broken down, you know, the stone, the bone, everything else. And then where's the body? Where it's all gone, right? So what is the animating principle behind everything? That's the Tathasta Shakti, the Atma. Yeah. And it can go so many places, but somehow or other, we've decided to be here in Houston. You know, where there's, practically speaking, no news about Krishna or anything else. Yeah. You look at things looking for the name of God on all the propaganda. So much propaganda. You're walking on this, driving here. It's just like looking at everything. You know, this, that. Smoke this. Drink this. Eat that. See this. Hear that. Do this. Buy this. Do that. It's just like unlimited propaganda. You know, but it says something. It says, remember God. No. Nothing. Not a hint. Right? So we've chosen to be here in this stupid place. You know. And the soul is dead, half asleep. Well, you know, because as it begins to wake up, it starts to become animated. The first result, Prabhupada says, the first result of chanting is desire to dance, right? Desire to clap your hands, to participate in the movement, you know. And then nama, rupa, the form of Krishna becomes manifest, then the qualities, then the pastimes, the associates. And we're there. We're with Krishna again. He's so kind. He comes into this material world, right? And we're again. We're with Krishna. You know? So it's only a matter then of just intensifying, you know, intensifying our activity. It's like again, like what is escape velocity? Any NASA scientist here? What is escape velocity? How much? No, with India, right? It escaped. I don't know, but it's like 50 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, 200 miles an hour, 500 miles an hour. At some point, you reach this point where you escape velocity. You're out of the gravity. You You're going fast enough so the gravity won't pull you back. Prabhupada says we have to accelerate our senses. Right? Accelerate our senses. You know, kirtan, jap, everything else. And at some point, we come to the point where, he's gone. That's it. Shamasundar's not coming back. Like that, gone. Yeah. Send them all back to Godhead. Right? One Marine battalion, they have this slogan that says, kill them all and let God sort them out. Right? So it's a large Italian movement, Lord, send them all back to Godhead. Let somebody else figure out where they go. Ayodhya, Dwarka, whatever. Just send them all back to Godhead. So it's a basic process. It's chant Hare Krishna, right? Dance. And when you're tired, take prasadam. It's ready. Everyone says that's ready. Don't worry. And after that, same thing some more. Yeah? But who will supply my house? Well, don't worry. Krishna remains all these things. Money will just come like that. So sannyasis have these things just to catch the money when it falls. This guy like that. Little rice. Yeah, still subji, whatever. Okay, it'll all come. We engage more and more in hearing and chanting. So, very simple process like that, hearing, chanting. And then, to accelerate the process, we have so many nice books, to purify your intelligence, understand things. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Isopanishad, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, 7 volumes of letters, 35 volumes of room conversation, morning walks. Srimad Bhagavatam lectures, Bhagavad Gita lectures. Right? Prabhupada said, don't say I didn't leave you anything. I think probably none of us will read all these books in one lifetime. There's so much new information again and again and again and again. More things, more things, more things. And so every moment then you're just always Krishna conscious because you've heard everything. I know about this, I know about that, I know about this, I know about that. Always discovering something new. So then Maya's tricks don't work anymore. Right? We're actually animated at every moment to be devotees, serve Krishna. We know how to do it every moment. Right? Help everybody become Krishna conscious. One Chinese guy, he's also preaching the glories of the holy name. He says, wherever we go, whatever situation we're in, we should think my first business here is to chant the holy names. If I go to work, any place else like that. And the second business is to distribute it to other people like that. Then everything else goes on automatically. 90%. 90% of our life is just by habit and by association. We don't have to think about anything. Right? As soon as you're in the kitchen, automatically your intelligence brings up the kitchen module. Okay, this is here, this is there, I do this, I cook that this time. You just talk to somebody else. You can cook a whole lunch without even thinking about it. Right? We were invited to one Indian family's home one time. And my disciple, Rakhtak in Punjabi, said, Maharaj is Westerner, so don't use any chilies. The man said, all right. So he got there eating the sabji, there were chilies in the sabji. He said, I thought you were going to use chilies. He said, I know, but my hand just put it in when I wasn't looking. Try not to cook. All right, ladies, try not to cook. Hari Soi was with us in the Rajmando Parikrama. We go walking in Vrindavan for 1 month all the way around like that with this, no shoes and staying in, country schoolhouses and tents. It's so nice. He don't go back. So after about 2 days, he said, look at my hands. His hands were shaking like that. And he said, usually I'm on the computer about four or five hours every day. And so my hands are just going through this like withdrawal like that. Something. And it's like that. It all comes off. Your intelligence, your conditioning. And pretty soon you start dreaming about, rope. What else? Dirt. Right? He was there. Right? He was there. And you just start dreaming about dirt, rope, cows, straw. Nothing about machines or anything else. And so you're very close to nature and to Krishna. So many facilities Prabhupada's given us. He's given nice temples, he's given these parikramas, these pilgrimages, he's given us a very nice daily schedule, right? How to be Krishna conscious, books, festivals, so many things. And then we're supposed to use our own intelligence. If we're purified, Krishna will give us intelligence how to serve him in any particular situation like that. One man in India, he has Bhubaneshwar, he has an automobile part replacement company, like when your car has some problem, you go buy a replacement part, you know. So how do you become Krishna conscious and preach in that atmosphere? He has somebody with a metal die stamping Hare Krishna on every single part like that. Some mechanics are out of the car fixing it, they look up and it says, Hare Krishna, like that, you know. Somebody else has the Neptune ice cream business in Lucknow. So every day before he offers like 15 flavors, you know, before they go out, he offers them all to Gornatai, like that, every day, 15 flavors. He's thinking, you know, how to make it a little better. And he has like 150 people out with push carts and the stores, and so all, they're all taking prasadam. It's all offered to Gornatai in the morning. You know? So somehow or other, all over the world, people are becoming vegetarian, things are changing. And, you know, you find no other source. And then A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami has pushed this, and now vegetarianism, you know, reincarnation is accepted pretty much as, you know, being alive, very likely, very possible. Yeah. One specific example, yeah. Srila Prabhupada was preaching to Swarup Damodar Maharaj to have science congresses, to preach in this area of science, where people have faith in science. So you have to show them that Krishna consciousness is also, you know, the essence of science. Yeah. So he organized different conferences, and in Calcutta in 1997, we organized a second world congress for the synthesis of science and religion. And I was working there too. I met one professor from the University of Calcutta, and he was helping us, Dr. Bandopadhyaya. So then about 2 years later, then he saw that when you talk about science and cosmetology, science and peanut butter, science, people are interested. You know, okay, so he was a part of the Department of Ancient History, and nobody cares about the Department of Ancient History. You know, they haven't got a fax machine. It's ancient history. So okay, he told him. So he told the head of the department, one of his students, he said, what we have to do is have a seminar, national seminar on science and technology in ancient India. You see what happens. So he did that, and yes, the national press came, P.C. Chundar, you know, former Minister of Education was there, S.K. Mukherjee, President of West Bengal Science Association, Chancellor of the University came, press, because it was science and technology in ancient India. Oh. And when these scientists came writing very interesting papers, you know, because nobody had ever done this before, really. Always just thought, oh, Indians had no technology. They lack that ability. They have good philosophy, good psychology, but they don't have technology. There's something wrong in their philosophy. No, in Mahindradhara, there are glass beads mixed with steel, very kind of beautiful things, many of them. Some are they were used for some purpose. And so to do that, you had to have a temperature high enough to make alloys, steel alloys. They thought they never had that before, but no, they were doing this, you know, 5,000, 3,000 years before Christ. Well, the Muslims, they had this technology. They had good swords, right? And they conquered the Christians with these, you know, how they beat the steel, fold it, beat it, so it becomes very complicated in the structure, very hard like that. But to do that, you have to have good raw steel to start with. And where was that coming from? Gujarat. So the Gujaratis were selling steel to the Muslims, and the Muslims were using it to make weapons to come back and conquer the Gujaratis. You know? So somewhere along there, politics is more important than business. Yeah. Yeah. So batteries, 1,000 years before Christ, making batteries. You know, I don't know what they use for Walkmans or something, Palm Pilots, you know, something. But it's always been there, you know. Technology in India, Yantra Vidhi. But it is considered inferior. The real thing is self-realization. And for that you can live very simply, you know. Horses, cows, grass, you know, and develop mystical powers for these kind of things, you know, communication at a distance and raise the dead, or, you know, or medical, you know, all these subtler powers are there, using subtler forces like that, you know. So Radha and Krishna, that's our whole goal, you know, because Krishna wants more and more participation in this Rasa-lila, and many Rasa-lilas, not just one. And sometimes Balaram is also there, you know, with the gopis and Krishna and singing and just, you know, expressing different opera, different things like that. Yeah. Yeah. And in the process, we're very fortunate. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami has been giving us, you know, Gauravani, right? Giving us this message of Lord Chaitanya, which is this Harinama, 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 Eva Kevala, Kalavana Stevana Stevana Steva. Nathirangata. You know, well, is there some other way? No. No other way. Yeah. Everything else will follow. you know, very naturally. When you put a flower garland on your body, your shadow automatically has a flower garland. So when your spiritual life improves, your material life automatically improves. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. So any comments or anything? Or questions? We're very blessed today. We have a very, very erudite scholar here who's practically the limit of his knowledge is unknown. Like that. Tabrija Maharaj. Humble too. So any comments or questions? We can go on talking for 7 days and seven nights. I'm especially working in South America now. You know what Churchill's philosophy was? Winston Churchill, right? He was during the Second World War. He had a strategy. You know, how to conquer Germany? It was the soft underbelly. Yeah, it was to invade through. The Americans more wanted to invade through Europe, directly on France, but they thought it was too tough. So his idea was to come up through the Mediterranean, through either Greece or Italy, like that. So that was their invasion tactic, like that. It worked pretty well. Yeah. So the same way too in North America, it's very difficult in many ways to introduce our ideas and concepts during the hippie era. People were so open out, just looking for everything new. It was a very unusual time, very unusual in the history of American consciousness. And so then Krishna sent Prabhupada, and so many people got involved, so much books were distributed, so many things happened like that. Very good, you know. And so sometimes you think that we've lost the potency, but I don't think so. This is a time has become very tough. You know, actually, in South America, they say, los norteamericanos son muy cuadráticos. North Americans are very blockheaded, like that. You know, very German, very, you know, so when you're talking to people now, it's like talking to a web page or something like that. They're very, you know, mechanistic in the reactions. And how are you? I'm fine. How's the family? They're okay, too. Okay, see you later. Reports to at 6. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, they have no time, you know? Right? Yeah. And so it's very, it's not an atheistic place. It's even worse than that. They don't even hate God. It's unimportant. It's this mechanistic idea of a technique and product. And we all know what makes you happy. Sense gratification, you know, in different ways. So all struggling toward that goal. So it's very difficult now to introduce ideas and concepts here in many ways. So my strategy has been to, in South America, people are more sensitive, more, you know, alert to culture, community, philosophy, religion, you know. And so down there, other problems down there too, but there's good success working with many universities and a lot of interest, you know. And so now we're trying to organize programs which can then be translated to North America. You know, some very, very good academic conferences, and then bring them right into in North America in the next few years like that, some strategy. Maharaj, and Magnus, give us your perspective on Krishna consciousness. What should we do to become Krishna conscious?
How was your week? I started my Sunday lecture 2 months ago with "How was your week?" Who wants to share a realization they had last week? Anybody have any realizations last week? We taking time for that? Or as Maharaj said, are we all really blockheaded Americans? Even though you're Indians, have you become blockheaded by association? My week was very good. The I heard that, I can't remember who it was, but they said, I became known as a great man because I thought once a week.
Yeah.
Who was, I don't know, is it Socrates or one of these famous ancient Greek, I became a great man, known as a great man because I stopped to think once a week. I don't think it's going to go any further. So, this contemplation, very important. Our business is to contemplate upon Krishna. Mara started his lecture with this nice visualization, verbal visualization of the spiritual world. And of course, by nature we wonder, why does someone speak like that? But then you just kind of go into it, close your eyes, and next thing you know, I was seeing all the birds and the trees and the flowers and the cowherd boys and stuff of Vrindavan. Kind of a visual tour of the spiritual world. And then bringing it down into the practicality that we find ourselves entrapped in a situation which is not natural for us. The material world is very unnatural. So, I was thinking what to talk about, and I ended up on the, today was the first three chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Oh, somebody's studying this book. Whose book is it? Is this yours? Sunday school book, third year. That's yours. This is a good sign. It's underlined. That means he's been reading the book. In the third chapter, whenever I come across this verse, it ends up being my... Is it too far away still? I can make... Just like I told you, I read three chapters a day, just to English, just to keep myself going on the Bhagavad Gita. Hopefully someday I'll have it figured out. And whenever I come to this verse, it's such a practical verse. And I always like to have some practical side. And I'll read this verse. Nahi kaschit shimam api jatur tishyat yakarma krit. Remember? Karate hya vasha karma sarva prakriti gyar gunai. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to their qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. This comes up because of a question that I got yesterday, and it also came up today in a phone call. Yesterday at lunch, and we answered the question yesterday, and then I had more time to think. I figure if you think once a week, then I can become a great person. Everybody wants to become great. But I'll just read the purport, and then we'll walk through it a little bit and see how it fits for today. So Srila Prabhupada's purport. It's not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. Without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. The body is only a dead vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul, which Mara so nicely explained, which is always active and cannot stop even for a moment. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupations dictated by illusory energy. In contact with material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes. In contact with material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes. And to purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage in the prescribed duties enjoined in the shastras. But if the soul is engaged in its natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. The Srimad Bhagavatam affirms this in the first canto, 5th chapter, verse 17, where the verse is, if someone takes to Krishna consciousness, even though he may not follow the prescribed duties in the shastras or execute the devotional service properly, even though he may fall down from the standard, there is no loss or evil for him. But if he carries out all the injunctions for purification in the Shastras, what does it avail him if he is not Krishna conscious? End of the quotation. So the purificatory process is necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sannyas, or any purificatory process, is to help reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious, without which everything is considered to be a failure. So Srila Prabhupada's commentary there. Srila Prabhupada, the key.
Yeah.
So this activity that we find ourselves performing, you can come closer. I mean, everybody's so far away. Some people are sitting way in the back and some people are in the kitchen. Make me feel like you have some affection. Or should I say what I always say at the Sunday feast? I'm a vegetarian, I won't bite. I... What kind of water is that? Nasty water. So Srila Prabhupada explains here that it's not a matter of embodied, not a question of being embodied, like we think that now we're active and then somehow or another will sometime become inactive. This is there. We think that the body, like this, the soul, is different, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. That is the nature of the soul. So therefore, when that soul enters into the body, then that body becomes animated. So the Prabhupada says here, without the body is only a dead vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul. This body is just matter. As Mara said, Bhumir Apo Analo Vayu, it's just earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. That's what we are now in this material world. We're like this, but that it's that spirit soul inside which is activating it. So by nature, we're going to have to be active. I remember one time, and I've mentioned this many times when I speak, it was one of the most, what was it called? I was a very fortunate person to read this article on the Sunday Times in Orlando when I was distributing books there, because I'm always teaching and giving lectures and stuff. And sometimes the children, oh, Hare Krishna. Nice to see you. You're here from corporate, where are you, Galveston? Or, yeah, nice to see you coming. So, the article, and it was, you know, as devotees, everything becomes Krishna conscious, somehow or another. You know, sometimes, I always see this also, now I'm going into like three examples. I'll probably forget where I started. But we always see Krishna within everything as devotees. Sometimes we may think, I don't see Krishna. When we're at work, or when we're doing our natural domestic duties or material duties, but we always see Krishna in everything as devotees. We cannot see separated from Krishna. So, when I was reading this article, it was describing how very practical. If you have children and you're going to a engagement or a party or some kind of function where children are expected to act as adults, do not bring them, because they cannot act like adults, because they have a particular body that's going to act like a child. If you're an adult going to a program where there's going to be children, do not expect them to act like adults. If you do, then don't go to that program, because the children are not going to act like adults, they're going to act like children. So, as Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, if you get the body of a demigod, then you act like a demigod. And if you get the body of a hog, he uses the hog analogy. He uses those a lot. I know. And he says, and then you'll act like a hog. And so when I read that, it changed my whole perspective of, like, you know, children. I just said, okay, they're just act. You know, I'm always thinking they shouldn't act like that. Well, that's not true, because that's what they are. You know, whatever they are, they're going to act. Who am I to say they shouldn't act like that? I mean, that's what they are. They're going to act like that. I shouldn't think that they're not going to act like that. That's what's bothering me. You know, I'm actually stressing myself out, not the children. The children aren't stressing me out. They're just doing whatever kids do. I'm just stressing myself out, thinking they should be doing something different than children. So it brings us into this point that without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. So when that spirit soul is in the body of a young child, that body is going to act like a child. When that my spirit soul is in the body of an old man or whatever body we have, it acts that way. And I give the example many times. Say, for example, my watch. I have a battery in my watch. So then, because the body is made like a watch, then it acts like a watch. The body, the battery makes it, activates it, and the mechanism or the body acts like a watch because that's what it is. That's what its body's like. Say, for example, the microphone has a battery. It doesn't act like a watch because it has a different body. It acts like a microphone. Or your telephone acts like a telephone. It has a different body, but the same activating principle is there. So in the same way we have this body, and this body is activated by the spirit soul. Without that spirit soul, it doesn't work. Just like if I take the battery out of this body, I take the battery out of the watch, then the watch dies. It's dead. It's not even alive. It's funny. Not funny. It's amusing and interesting to note that when we compare this to material objects, say for example my watch or the telephone, or what else did I use? The microphone or whatever thing. When we take the battery, we don't think that it's alive. We think it's just a thing that's electrified by something else. But when it comes to our body, we think this is us. And that there's something, if we take the analogy and we see how it works, we understand that the body itself isn't alive. It's amazing that we're not alive as a body. But we're actually alive as a spirit soul. That active principle inside us is the spirit soul. The example is given. Now we're covered. Now this verse describes that everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities acquired from the modes of material nature. These modes are coverings. This body is a covering. Spirit soul. Prabhupada gave the example that, say, for example, light is originally white. Now there may be some new scientific discovery that it's ultraviolet. I can't know where they're at yet. But let's just say, for all practical purposes, light is white. When you put a yellow shield in it, it appears to be yellow. It's not yellow, it's white, it just appears to be something different. You put a blue cover on it, it appears to be blue. You put a red cover or a green cover, whatever cover it apparently has, it appears to be like that, although behind that it's something different. So in the same way, we put this covering of the material body on us, and we think that I'm Raitabhaja Swami. Or he thinks he's Hanumat Prekshaka Swami. Or he thinks that he's Jagannath. Or he thinks that he's Chaitanya. We identify ourselves so much with this material body when it's actually just a covering. Mars gave the example that we neglect the actual soul. When he started to say like that, it reminded me of Prabhupada's story about the bird in the cage. That we have, the person gets a bird, so he has a cage. But he decorates the cage all day long, polishes it, buys jewels and gems and this and that, and forgets to feed the bird, and the bird dies, and then what's the value of the cage? It's a great example. It's just a wonderful example. Elmar was saying the body is like this, you're decorated, I asked one girl one day how long it takes to paint herself, and she says 1 hour a day on a good day, I was amazed. I don't know, they're trying to sell makeup to guys. I don't know if guys got a whole hour to do that or not. It's okay. Everybody has the kind of body they have, and they act accordingly. You act according to that body. So because we have this spirit soul inside us, then we're going to act. That was what Krishna told Arjuna. He said that you'll be forced to act according to the nature you have acquired. You're refusing to fight now, but eventually you'll fight. I've given the example many times how when I took the course from Bhurijana Prabhu in Vrindavan on Bhagavad Gita, he explained that while Krishna was telling Arjuna specifically in this, that by your action you'll be impelled to act according to your nature no matter what. Arjuna is thinking, well, if I go to the forest, what's going to be like? In other words, he did a visualization, a visual tour of what it would be like if he didn't fight. And he thought, okay, now I'm just sitting in the forest. You know, begging, you know, digging a few roots up, eating some sadhu food, chanting or whatever, and you know, I'll just be meditating. And because he's a Kshatriya, he's got the, you know, motive passion, and he's going to see duality, and he's going to start thinking about how his wife was insulted in the assembly of the Kauravas. And as he starts to think about this incident, how Duryodhana cheated them, Dushyasana insulted them, Karna, you know, called his wife a common prostitute. I mean, prostitute, called Draupadi a prostitute because she had five husbands. He said, I'm just going to get so agitated, I'll personally give up my renunciation and go and kill all the Kauravas myself. They won't even have to be about it. I'll be so disturbed by my nature. He said, right, you're right, Krishna. I can't sit there and think. I can't sit there and just do that. You're right. My nature is not like that. So by our nature now, we have to be active. So now, how are we going to act? Srila Prabhupada gives that example here, that as such, the spirit soul, because that's what we are. And it's amazing how Prabhupada develops his purport here. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness. The spirit soul. The body is, like he said, now we're inhabiting this body. The body is like a vehicle. So this vehicle is meant to be used in the devotional service of Krishna, the good work of Krishna consciousness, so that otherwise it'll be engaged in occupations dictated by the material nature. That's being described here. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the modes he's acquired. So unless we can consider ourselves to be different from this material body, to consider ourselves to be the spirit soul, then what happens is that we act according to that body. And as we act according to that body, we're just forced to act in different material ways. It's completely separate from what we really are. So we have to contemplate. Am I this material body or am I a spirit soul? How am I acting? What is it? What is the result of my acts? The last time I was here, we had a very long discussion with some young men. I don't know if any of them are here. Maybe, I think Mitu was there. You were there, a member over, and we had a discussion. You know, if you get some money by mistake, say for example you go to the store and they accidentally give you too much change, what do you do? The right thing is you give the money back. You say, I'm sorry, you gave me too much change. That happened to me the other day in the University of Florida when I was getting the Lakshmi for the lunch program. I gave $3. I thought it was $3, but one of them was a 10. And the kid said, oh, Mars, this is a 10. I said, thank you. You're an honest man. You'll go back to Godhead. I gave him my blessings. Ashwan, my bond. So, So then we had a long discussion. Would you act? You know, the right thing is to give it back to whomever it belongs to. Will we actually act that way? Will we always act according to what is right, what is proper? I took this discussion to Gainesville with me. From Houston, it went to Gainesville, to our school. And I asked all the young boys in the school, I said, what's the right thing to do? They said, Mars, the right thing to do is to give the money back. I said, how many of you will do that? And one boy raised his hand out of about 15. The other ones just say, well, I just keep it, Maharaj. I said, at least you're honest. You must all be Brahmins, you know. Malaysia must be thieving Brahmins or something. I don't know. At least they were honest. I gave them credit for what they were. I took the question to the girls' school, and all the girls raised their hand but two. They said, all the girls said they would give it back except for two. One of the boys said, Mars, they're just telling you that they would never do it, you know. They're just like us, Mars. Don't be bewildered. Chaitanya, where is he? Chaitanya said the same thing, you know. So then my point is, I said, okay, it's okay to keep that. That doesn't belong to you. As long as you understand that there's a reaction that goes with that, and you're willing to accept that reaction. And if you're willing to accept that reaction, then you don't come crying to Krishna, you don't come crying to me or the temple president or your mother and father or your, you know, whatever, you know, your, you know, wherever you put your complaints at, you know. When you have that suggestion box or complaint box, you know. What do they call that? Customer service. You know? Because you know what is right and wrong. We know what is right and wrong. As individuals, we know what to do and what not to do. We know when we've stepped over the line. We know when we're taking from that which doesn't belong to us. We know that when we're in Krishna's business. Ultimately, everything here is Krishna's. He's the owner and controller of everything. He allows us to use certain things in His service. Just like when I came here, Mr. Patel welcomed me to his house. He was so happy that I was coming. I was so happy to be here. You know, my house is your house. I said, okay. And I started taking the lamps and the furniture outside and got the refrigerator, check, looking for his checkbook, credit card. So that's not quite what he had in mind. So we don't want to overstep the boundary. So there are legal boundaries to our activities. So if we do not engage in the active, we do not engage our active principle, or in other words, our activities in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we'll act on the material level. In contact with material energy, the spirit soul acquires the modes. Those modes cover us again. And to purify ourselves, when we say purify the soul, it's not that the soul has to become purified, it just has to become uncovered. To purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage in the prescribed duties enjoined in the Shastra. In other words, there is a guidebook. There's a guidebook, what to do, what not to do. It's very, very clear. In other words, you can't go to the judge on judgment day and say, Your Honor, I didn't know. Well, I'm sorry, you know. It's just like if you, I had an electronic thing one time and I plugged it in improperly and it burnt out. And so I went back and said, it doesn't work. And he said, what happened? I said, well, I did this. And he said, well, don't you know you're not supposed to do that? And I said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, you're supposed to read the manual. I said, well, that's what I thought you did after you did it when it didn't work anymore, you know? They were kind enough to give me a new product, but I got the message that it's my fault, not their fault. I was the one that plugged it in improperly and therefore caused it to short out and it destroyed the appliance. The same way, especially now, we're held responsible as human beings because we have the ability to understand. Very nice example, which I've given many times, which Srila Prabhupada has given. He said, if a dog goes through a red light, he does not get a ticket. If I go through the red light, I get a ticket. Did somebody get a ticket? I saw somebody laughing. I heard something. Oh, okay. I thought maybe somebody got a ticket this week going through a red light. If a dog goes through the red light, he's not arrested. The police officer says, dumb dog is going to get run over. Huh? But if you go through the red light, you'll get a blue light special, as they call it. Not a Kmart blue light special, but, you know, they'll come and get you and say, I'm sorry, sir, you're not supposed to go through. Well, Your Honor, your officer, I didn't know. I tried that one time. And I still got the ticket. One time imagine this. This is how bad they are. You know, it's not my fault. It's something, here you go again, defend, right? Out of the four propensities, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, the defending propensity is the strongest. So I go through the red light. It's a right-hand turn. I live in this town for 25 years. I go through this thing, make a right-hand turn every day for 25 years. One day they stick up a no right-hand turn sign there. As Mara said, I go to the kitchen, you cook by habit. I get behind the car, I just drive by habit. I stop at the red light, then I go. Next thing you know, there's a policeman giving me a ticket for going through the red light in the right-hand turn. I said, no, there's no sign. He said, yeah, we just put it up this morning. I said, it's not fair to give me a ticket now. He says, that's why we're here. You're responsible to keep up. We're meant to keep up with our spiritual activities on a regular basis. We're not meant to just, when we progress, there's new signs. A little bit more. When you first start out, it's just chant Hare Krishna and be happy, or just eat this sweet ball and be happy. Then it's chant Hare Krishna. Then it's no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, no this, no that. And you kind of keep going further and further and further and further. And then pretty soon it's just Hare Bol all day long. Nothing else. It takes a lifetime, don't worry. You have time. I'm not going to make it happen tonight. So, we have to follow the directions of the Shastra. But if we do everything for Krishna, then we gain everything. Huh? Even though we may not understand the scriptural regulations and stuff like this, if we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna can actually work miracles with us. That's being described here. So the purificatory process is necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, sannyas, vanaprast, grihastha, brahmachari, all these different processes are there for purification so that we can actually advance in spiritual life. So then it brings us to the point of the question that was asked to me earlier. And I was taking lunch, and that is, why is it that sometimes I, even though I know that it's good for me to engage in devotional service. It's good. This is what I should do. I know I should chant Hare Krishna. Does anybody here think that they should not chant Hare Krishna on a regular basis? Does everybody here understand that we should chant the holy names of God on a regular basis? Is anybody here not thinking that way? If you are, we can discuss that point. Every day we should chant the holy names of God. There should not go a day go by where we do not involve our active nature in the activity of glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. There should not go one day. We can spend, as Mara said, so many times decorating this dead vehicle, the body. We can spend so much time for that. We have to give a little time. What did you say? 90% of the activities are by habit and association. So we still have 10%. It only takes 8.23% to chant 16 rounds a day. You've heard me say that one a million times. I figured out in the calculators. If you take 2 hours to chant your rounds, it's 8.23%. I have to get it out again, make sure I got the numbers correct. Give or take a percent. So we have time if we take time. So the question was asked to me yesterday, if I want to engage in service at the temple, if I want to give some Lakshmi, if I want to engage in devotional service, I want to read the scriptures, why don't I? I gave the example because you want to do something more than you want to do that. It's taking precedent. The same question I got today was we know that we want to advance, but sometimes we don't, so what is the reason? And so we can understand another point is that sometimes we fall under the control of material nature. We fall under the lower modes of nature. I find myself very often, I would say daily, influenced by the modes of nature at different times of the day. It's like for me, mornings are very, very good. Some people, mornings are very bad. The earlier I get up, let's put it this way, the earlier I go to bed, the better it is for me, because then I can get up early, because then I can have the morning hours for meditation, contemplation, study, these types of things. And in the afternoon, I can just work, because my brain is dull. It's very dull in the afternoons. And I was trying to figure it out, because like the other day I was staying at Chaitanya's house and I had an afternoon free, which I don't normally have. And I was thinking, what am I going to do? I said, I'll just read. I tried to read. I literally could not do it. My brain was so ignorant, so influenced by the mode of ignorance and passion. In other words, I just needed something else to do. So I just went from chanting to, all I could do is go walk and chant. So I felt this influence of the modes of nature upon me. And I was thinking, now what do we do on that circumstance? So is it that we're forced to act helplessly according to the qualities I've acquired, or, which is true, this is a practical thing, should I just surrender to that mode of nature then? Or should I try to facilitate my Krishna consciousness with whatever mode of nature I'm in right now? And this is my meditation the other day. How can I utilize those dull moments? Which anybody here ever had a dull moment in the day, you know, or a passionate moment where, you know, isn't it? I mean, we get absorbed. We just become, you know, consumed by these modes. So how to actually engage that in the service of Krishna? How to overcome it? We may not be able to say, maybe if we're in the mode of ignorance or passion, we're overcome. We can't just sit down and study. I say that to Devika all the time. She's studying all the time for her medicine. I say, I just wish I could study during the day Bhagavad Gita. I just cannot do it. My brain won't, my modes won't let me do it. Therefore, I do some other activity for Krishna at that time. We choose, we arrange our life. If this is my passionate time, then let me do those things which I have to do, which are active. Wash my clothes, clean my room. You know, and while I do that, I can listen to a lecture. Let me, you know, and let me use the other time, which I could use those things where my brain's a little more peaceful, in the service of Krishna. So what we're explaining here is that if we, as Prabhupada mentions this, and it's a, you know, I think about these terms. Prabhupada says, mold your life in such a way that you don't forget Krishna. So here's a practical way that we mold our life. We find ourselves influenced by the modes of material nature. Do we want to let ourselves as an individual soul be manipulated by material nature, or do we want to rise above the modes of material nature, or identify those modes of nature and utilize that mode of nature in a particular type of activity which is conducive to that mode? This is our Krishna consciousness. And we can do that. As devotees, we can always keep ourselves, no matter what mode we are, above the modes of material nature, in that sense. In other words, taking that mode and engaging it in Krishna's service. This comes to a practical conclusion at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. A very, very practical conclusion to this point, because, let's see, where does it go? I think it's before then. No, it's way before then. Oh, I wish I could remember numbers. Every man can attain perfection by engaging in his active in Krishna consciousness. You know what number that is? Yeah. No, I'm not going to find it. I just read it the other day. But anyway, I know the verse, you know. Basically, I know the verse. And the verse is that that if a person engage, even no matter what nature you have, you engage that nature, your work, your activities, your yourself in the devotional service of Krishna, and you can go back home, back to Godhead. That's how beautiful Krishna consciousness is. It doesn't mean you have to become Brahman. It doesn't mean you have to become, you know, a scholar or this or that. It means that whatever your nature is, and we all know what our nature is, huh? That's very obvious. We can just take a look at ourselves. Take a day off, and what am I? You know, and see, and then say, okay, how do I do this in the service of Krishna? This was the point that Maharaj made when he talked about, you know, what was his name that has the, you know, parts department. He puts Hare Krishna on the parts. You know, we can figure out something. Like I was just, when I was in Asia, one guy, he grows apples, and then towards the time when they get ripe, he puts these little stickers on them, and then it has the Hare Krishna written on them. And then right when he sells them, he takes the tape off, and then all the apples say Hare Krishna on them. Because the pig, what do you call that? The pigment, or I don't know what it is. Pigment. It gets white wherever. You know, if you put a brick on the grass becomes yellow underneath. You know, so you put this. He has these little stickers on it, says Hare Krishna, and then he takes the tape off, and the apples all say Hare Krishna when he sells them in the market. We call them Hare Krishna apples. You know. These are fun little things to do, but ultimately we can see Krishna within everything. So this is a few of the ideas here. So there, we want to, you know, engage practically, you know, our activities in the service of Krishna, not be overcome by the modes of material nature. And when modes of material nature are forcing us, then we can overcome that by engaging that nature in the service of Krishna according to that nature. And then we make choices. It's like the person said, well, why don't I do that? Well, maybe you don't want to do it, really. You're just, you know, saying. If you really want to do it, you'll do it. So how do you overcome it? You overcome the modes of nature. Bhagavad Gita is very practical. I have an idea for tomorrow night Sunday feast lecture on determination. I wanted to talk about it tonight, but I had to really hold back, but I want to give that for the Sunday feast, determination. Determination in the mode of goodness, determination in the mode of passion, determination in the mode of goodness. And we'll see tomorrow night where we'll see, where we sit. Are we in goodness, passion, or ignorance? We're all going to be embarrassed tomorrow night. If you don't want to be embarrassed, don't come to the class tomorrow night. So any questions tonight on this idea of the active principle of the soul being, or this material nature forcing the living entity to act in a certain way, and the spirit soul being distinct and separate from that? Any questions on that? Or any questions on Maharaj's questions?
Maharaj. Question.
Yeah.
We scientists know that chemicals just react by themselves. The body is just a collection of different chemicals, complicated arrangement, and it goes on for some time, but when that thing is disturbed, then there's no more activity like that. There is no soul. Actually, it was a big thing of science, so you have to get rid of this idea of the soul once and for all.
I always say, just see how nice Krishna is. He lets you think that way. You know, you can think that way, but is it true? Analyze it. Is it true? You say, we know. Do you really know? Do you really know that?
Yeah.
You think you know, but do you really know? That's my question. Do you really know that? Remember, I remember when we were in Berkeley together. I think you were there like together, 80. Vinanda Maharaj came. Remember this Madhu Pandit, the player from Canada? He did a very, very funny play. Well, that was one of them, but when he did his own sitcom, that funny thing where he was like, with the bizarre bums of Berkeley cult and all those things, it was really amazing because he had, you know, you may think that it's just an amalgamation of chemicals. So when on this, he did this play. So part of the play, one thing, he was a TV announcer. He had one of those big screen TVs behind him, and we had videoed these bums in Berkeley, and we were interviewing the bums. How long have you been a member of the bums of Berkeley cult? And they go, what cult? And this is one of the symptoms of being a member of it. You don't even know you're in it. And it was hilarious. It was just one of the most amazingly Krishna conscious, humorous displays of entertainment that I have seen to this day in the Hare Krishna movement. Fantastic. Anyway, he had another thing where he did this scientist routine. So the phone, he's over, it's a one-man show. He's on stage, he's got the scientist white jacket on, and his wife calls him up, honey, our daughter Betty just got ran over by a car. Don't worry, honey, it's just an amalgamation of the chemicals, merging of her body into the asphalt in the front driveway of the car. It's nothing personal, don't worry about it. No, it's our daughter! And honey, it's not our daughter, it's just an imagination. You don't understand that these chemicals are everywhere in the universe. He goes to this whole thing. What scientist actually thinks that way when their children die? You break down, sir, and cry. Why? Do you cry over chemicals? Every day in your laboratory you spill so many chemicals. Do you cry in those days? But when the chemicals take a particular form, you become attached. Why? It's not chemicals. It's the person behind it. It was a great, I mean, it was just, this play was just, it was fantastic. Because you could just see how foolish. And then he's, I'm sorry, you know, he wasn't even sorry. It's just so, you know, matter of fact, this is not true. You may think it's that way, but what is your proof? You have no more proof than anybody else. Denying the existence. It's an amazing, because Krishna lets you do it too. You can deny it. You can say it doesn't exist, but does it make it go away? Does it make it true? by your belief, if it's by your belief that something becomes true, you know, then I believe that, you know, your money is my money. Hand it over. It's not simply by belief that something becomes true. And we're meant to search out that which is true. So any questions on the modes of nature manipulating us? I suggest everybody take time this week to consider their life. And this is what I'm, my request, I'd just really like to see this. What do we want in life? The next time I come, we are going to arrange a japa seminar. And in this japa, we're going to have everybody come together in different homes, and we're going to walk through different japa processes. And we have one where we walk through to our point of death, and we chant at that point. And then we can see what baggage we have in, you know, in our closet, or what we have in or carrying with us that we don't need today. So consider this, because we don't know. This life is very, very serious and very precarious, very awkward situation. At any moment it can be taken away from us, and we have this wonderful opportunity to develop our spiritual lives if we take the time to do it. Daily, every day. So if there's no questions, maybe we'll stop here and have a little more kirtan, and, or whatever our host decides that we're supposed to do. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I forgot the more time.
Off.